Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante in with Greg Pickle. Greg, we are going to do a lot of recruiting talk today. I want to talk about an article you wrote last week about all there's a lot of targets on the defensive side of the ball. We're going to get into that shortly. But first, there was a little bit of news on the coaching front earlier this week. It was announced that safeties coach Tim Banks is on his way out the door, is going to be the defensive coordinator at Tennessee.
Yeah, so let's just say this, Jim. Didn't see this one coming on Monday morning when I sat down with a cup of coffee to figure out what this week was going to look like. You know, Banks' name came up briefly when Michigan had an open defensive coordinator job, but there never really seemed to be any traction there, despite the fact that he obviously recruits Michigan, Detroit, and that part of the country very well. So, okay, you figure maybe Penn State gave him a little bit more money. He already has the co-defensive coordinator title. He already has the safeties coach title. Maybe they threw a little bit more money at him, and that was that. Well, then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Yahoo Sports Pete Thamel puts out that Tennessee is finalizing a deal to nab Banks away from James Franklin's staff. And look, I mean, it can't be ignored that I think Josh Heupel, and I hope I pronounced his last name right, the new head coach at Tennessee, had really vetted a lot of candidates for that job. And I think he probably offered it to a handful of guys. And I know how that works where, you know, no one was offered a job until the guy who accepted it took the only job that was offered. I get it. And I know it, you know, there's all that kind of stuff going on, but you know, all told, it really comes down to Tim Banks did a nice job for Penn State, both on the recruiting and coaching fronts since 2016 when he came on board. You know, was the secondary always great? No. But he did put some safeties into the NFL, guys like Nick Scott, Garrett Taylor, and some others who, you know, Troy Apke obviously being one, who maybe people didn't see as NFL guys at one point in time. So I thought he was probably a better coach than he ultimately got credit for. And I mean, look at the money, Jim. Knox News reports that he's going to make about $1.2, $1.3 million a year. I mean, you're not staying at Penn State as the co-defensive coordinator when that kind of money's on the table to go to the SEC and call the plays and do all that. So it doesn't surprise me that this move happened. You know, was it kind of weird the way it all worked out? Yeah, I mean, it took a long time here, but Tennessee didn't expect to have a coaching search. So I guess all is well that ends well for them. And for Penn State, it's a chance to upgrade. And I'll be really interested to see what James Franklin does here, Jim, because I don't think they need to necessarily go hire a safeties coach. You know, I mean, they could move some pieces around on the staff and bring somebody else in. To me, and I'm going to be curious to hear what you think, but to me, it has to be a recruiter first, a guy who is top flight when it comes to getting in talent. And obviously, you need to be able to coach, but you know, I think first and foremost, you want to get someone in here who can hit the road running on that front.
Well, you hit where I was headed, Greg, which is the actual coaching and the recruiting side of it. Those are both sides of what a coach needs to do. And candidly, I think recruiting is more important. So that's what I believe they need to replace with Tim Banks. Now, he apparently has been the lead guy for Michigan, and Penn State's been doing well in that state recently. The question comes, do you bring a guy in who will specifically recruit there, or someone who maybe recruits closer to home, the mid-Atlantic states, or the, you know, the Carolinas, or the DMV? What is more critical, do you think, as someone who follows recruiting so closely?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I look at it as I don't really care what region they recruit well, as long as they can commit and do it. You know, if it's a guy who's going to get you prospects out of the Midwest like Tim Banks did, great. If it's a guy who's going to focus more in the South, great. If he's a mid-Atlantic regional guy, he, you know, that's fine too. I think that Penn State just needs someone who can come in, and I think the biggest thing is hitting the ground running and being able to get out there and make connections quickly with prospects and not put Penn State in the kind of hole that they were in last year when it comes to recruiting the defensive line. And through John Scott Jr., no fault of his own, Jim, but he got here late because Sean Spencer left late, and then, you know, the pandemic comes, and he had no opportunity to you know, to go out and meet these guys in person until it was far too late. So I do think that's something to keep an eye on here. If you made me pick one, I would say the Mid-Atlantic and certainly the DMV and that Maryland, Virginia area would be helpful, but I don't think it's necessarily an end all be all. If you get one of those guys, great. If it's somebody else elsewhere, that's fine. And time will tell what they decide to do here, but I would expect James Franklin to try and wrap this one up pretty quick.
I would think so. It's so late in the process here. I would think you'd try to fill it pretty quickly. Last question on this topic, Greg, is when they lost Tyler Bowen, the tight end coach, they went internal with a young guy, kind of inexperienced. I think he has more experience than most people give him credit for. What direction do you see him going for this position? Maybe somewhat a more veteran guy, someone with a track record?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, Ty Howe can obviously recruit. We've heard a lot of good things from prospects on that front, Jim. So that's a plus. And I think he's going to be just fine coaching tight ends. I mean, he was a co-offensive coordinator and he's coached multiple positions before. I think this is a guy with more experience than what people realize, so I think that'll be fine. But I do expect James Franklin to get somebody like a Tim Banks that is experienced, maybe not a former defensive coordinator, but somebody, you know, who's been a position coach, a successful one for a long time. You know, this kind of strikes me as one of those hires like Jaylon Sider, where you're trying to find a guy who is at the top of his position group. And Jaylon Sider certainly was when it comes to developing running backs. The problem, of course, is that you're trying to do that now in February, and spring practice is right around the corner for a lot of teams. And who are you going to be able to pry away from a school at this point in time? That's going to be the biggest challenge, I think. And so whatever they have to do to get it done, I'm sure they will. We know that James Franklin's good about that kind of stuff. But, yeah, it's certainly a weird time to be making a hire that will probably hurt the list of candidates. But on the other hand, there are a lot of guys who are out of jobs right now because of the pandemic and things like that. So I think that should help Penn State find an experienced veteran coach as well. And I think that's the route they'll go.
Okay. Let's move on, Greg. You promised that we would talk recruiting. We will devote all of segment two to it, but let's get an early start on it. Last week, you wrote an article for Penn Live, and as a fan, I love these kind of articles, looking ahead, projecting who's available, who Penn State is going after. So I know that our listeners will appreciate it. And for those who haven't seen it, please go to Penn Live, look at Greg Pickle, or if you have our app, there's a place you could find everything that Greg Pickle writes on Penn Live, and you could find the article there. But let's go through this list a bit, Greg. And it's interesting. I want to start at the top. It's the top of your article, and it's got to be the top of the Penn State's list. And that is five-star defensive end. And I hope I pronounce this name right. Is it Eni White?
Yes.
He is the number one player in the state, number two player at his position nationally. He comes from the Philadelphia, and we know how Penn State has done in getting that number one guy in the state of Pennsylvania, unsuccessful the last couple years. Where are they with Mr. White, who is the number one player in the state of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're in the hunt and in the mix, but as we've seen and the biggest challenge, Jim, when it comes to recruiting the Philadelphia area, I think, is that those guys all know that they can go anywhere in the country and thrive because so many guys who were really good high school players in Philadelphia before them have been able to do so. And so, you know, I think that that's something you got to keep in mind is that it's not necessarily always going to be a slam dunk when it comes to recruiting in-state kids, and that's definitely the case when it comes to Philadelphia because, you know, again, those guys have shown the MOTEPs and the St. Joe's Preps and everywhere else down there that they can go to the SEC or out west and thrive. They can play in the Big 12 and the Pac-12 and the SEC and the ACC. So, you know, it's not the whole stay home and play for the in-state school pitch doesn't really work all that well with those guys more often than not. So that's the biggest challenge there that they'll have to try and overcome. But I think they have decent early positioning, and we'll see how that, you know, puts them in a spot to get a visit here down the road once those happen again, which probably shouldn't go too much further without prefacing this segment with the idea that, you know, some of these guys are a little bit further along in their recruitments than others, Jim. But I think the important thing to remember is that most of these guys have not taken visits yet to campus, or if they did, maybe they did it before they were offered, and they certainly couldn't do it in an official visit capacity. So I think a lot of these guys, no matter where Penn State sits with them, are going to wait until they can take trips. But the problem is that it currently can't happen until April 15. It seems more likely than not that that date is going to be extended to Memorial Day, so the end of May. And, you know, that's going to be something that these schools and recruits have to overcome. You know, you don't want to lose guys because you want to wait until they take visits to commit. But at the same time, you don't want to take guys just so you fill up spots and then have them decommit and, you know, you back off other prospects and so on and so forth. So it's going to be messy for both sides of the equation here the longer this goes on. And I just think it's important to remember that where Penn State stands right now is going to help it down the road in more cases than not. But at the same time, when these guys get out and see schools again, there are going to be some programs entering recruitments that maybe didn't appear to be there before, or guys that didn't, schools that didn't seem like they had any shot, are suddenly going to propel to the top of a list because they were finally able to go see a campus that they'd never seen before. And I think it's going to work the other way. There might be guys on this list, Jim, that Penn State backs off once they see him on campus and say, oh, he did not come through all of this stuff very well. And, you know, and conversely, there'll be guys who you say, wow, you know, last time we saw him, he was 5'11", 180. Now he's 6'1", 210. Let's offer him and let's put him at the top of our list. So it's going to be an interesting cycle here. You know, I think a lot of us had hoped and were expecting, Jim, that by this time in this cycle, all the stuff that hindered the last one would be behind us, but we're just not there yet.
And I think there's something that needs to be expressed here when talking about these very high-end talents. It was the same way with Micah Parsons and Julian Fleming and Nolan Rucci. These are national recruits. They're not regional recruits. So when you look at White's offer list, you see the names like LSU and Ohio State and Alabama. That makes the recruiting very different.
Yes, it absolutely does. And that's what, you know, again, you're up against. People say, what's it going to take? We can get into this more in the next segment, but what's it going to take to start landing some of these guys and beating out the Alabamas and the Ohio State? Well, there's no magic potion, Jim, but one thing you have to have, one ingredient that's a must, it's winning, and winning at their level. And Penn State's not there quite yet.
All right, that is it for segment number one. In quarter number two, we are going to continue this conversation on the 2022 recruiting front. Stay tuned.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about sauces like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.